Continuing my series this week on the Berkshire Hathaway Annual Meeting, which is taking place this upcoming Saturday in Omaha, Nebraska, I've asked reporter for the Omaha World Herald, Steve Jordan, to have a conversation about the meeting, about Warren, and about other things. Steve Jordan, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
So if I were to go to this upcoming meeting, what could I expect? What would be my experience as an attendee? Let's say I've never gone before. What could I expect to experience there?
Yeah, well, there's kind of like two things that happen. One is the meeting itself. You know, there's a line that shows up about 5 o'clock in the morning. The doors open at 7. They go into a huge basketball arena that seats about 30,000 people. And then there's a convention hall attached to it. And you spend the meeting itself, Warren Buffett and his vice chairman, Charlie Munger, spend about 5 hours answering questions, just talking about whatever the shareholders want to hear about. And then the other thing that happens at the meeting is a convention hall filled with Berkshire companies selling all sorts of stuff, insurance and World Book encyclopedias and underwear from Fruit of the Loom and all that kind of stuff. It's just a big, huge crowd at the convention hall with lots of, I guess you call them, like-minded people interested in Berkshire.
Guys dressed up with fruit costumes and...
Yeah, sometimes the Fruit of Loom guys are there, sometimes they're not. There's usually a guy dressed up like a brick because he's got a brick company.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
There's some Texans come up because he's got Justin Booch is one of the companies.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and the other thing that goes on around the weekend is just a whole dozens of other events. A few of them are official, but a lot of them are just unofficial gatherings of people who have met over the years or else they're clients of some financial company and they come and get together and meet and learn about stuff. And there's a lot of selling that goes on, I think, too, as part of the deal.
I've gone to some of the side meetings, the investment meetings. There's value investing meetings with great speakers. So there's an awful lot going on. As a matter of fact, last year I had gone by myself and had nothing to do one night. So I went online, found a Berkshire Hathaway group, and I was directed to visit this meeting of what they call the Yellow Berkers. And they were all wearing yellow crazy hats or whatever. And they were an early group of a supporter fan group of Warren Buffett. But how long have you covered the Warren Buffett beat?
You know, I wrote about him in the 80s. And different people have covered him from years and years. I mean, our first reporter that wrote about him was in the 60s. And a guy by the name of Bob Doerr did really the first profile of Warren Buffett. So the World Herald's been watching our local guy here for a lot of the 50 years he's been running the company.
Yeah. You know, Buffett is a full-time Omaha resident. As a matter of fact, you can just kind of drive up to his house and see where he lives and where he's lived, you know, for so, I don't know how many years, what, 70?
Yeah, it's like 1958 he bought that house.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a nice neighborhood, but it's, you know, it's not like Bill Gates' house. You can't even get close to, can't get close to Gates' house out in Seattle.
Yeah. No, it's really, truly amazing. It's just another house on another kind of tree-lined street. A few years ago, before the meeting, I followed someone's advice and went to the Omaha Bridge Studio, which is in this really worn-down old strip mall, kind of outside of town. And there, as I arrived, Becky Quick was there and the cameras were there. The gal from Fox Business was there and waiting for Warren to come. And he did. He showed up to play bridge in this dumpy strip mall in this very... You know, I wouldn't say dumpy. I don't want to say that. But, you know, modest little store that had some bridge tables around it. What does this say about Warren Buffett and the fact that he would take time out in the kind of the seminal event for the year to go play bridge?
Yeah, I mean, he has things that he likes to do and he has a routine, I think. I think he plays those a lot. Sometimes they'll have bridge tournaments here and there and he'll go play with them. I mean, that bridge center is right down from Big Fred's Pizza, so you know it's right in the neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
And you know, there are times people will see him around town. He'll stop at the Pancake House or, you know, wherever, you know, driving through McDonald's. Of course, you've probably seen that.
And I saw that, yeah.
He's part of the town the rest of the year. I mean, he's really a celebrity only, you know, when the out-of-town people come around. The rest of the time, he's, you know, just your average deca billionaire, I guess you'd say.
I don't know how many. A deca is 10. So I don't know how you get to 60, sexta or whatever, octa, who knows, octa billionaire.
Yeah.
So what do you think that Warren Buffett didn't stay in New York, where the center of everything was happening? I mean, he studied at Columbia University, and you know, people like Mario Gabelli and others were there, and it was, you know, it was really quite a brain trust at the school at that time. And he went back to Omaha. Why do you think he did that?
Yeah, I know he's very much a private sort of guy. You know, he makes a lot of public statements, but he's very interested in family. He loves the family around Omaha that he had. His wife is from here, and her family goes way back. But the thing about New York, and he did work there for a while,
yeah,
for Ben Graham after he graduated from college. So he was active in the New York business community, finance and all that. But you hear, you're so much going on. You hear so many things happening. There's all kind of rumors and the latest fad going on as far as finances goes. He said it just drove him nuts to have all this stuff happening all the time. Mm-hmm. Plus, the worst thing was he started believing all the rumors and trying to listen to all these people. You know, he wants to look at the facts, read information, mm-hmm. make up his own mind, and the distractions are a lot less in Omaha. I mean, his first office was alcove off his bedroom. So,
yeah,
you know, he just would read stuff and that was it. And Omaha, I mean, he's comfortable here. He doesn't have to worry about transportation, getting around, or crowds of people trying to sell him stuff all the time. You know, he just fits here, and Omaha fits him. He's learned a lot from Omaha. Omaha's benefited from having him around.
You mentioned this idea that there was so much noise and all the rumors, and it drives you crazy. But, you know, in today's world, you get that same kind of information overload just by watching TV.
Yeah, that maybe that's on the computer. I mean, that's why he doesn't have a computer in his office.
He has a computer, yeah.
He can control the flow, so to speak.
Yeah, well, so that's a good lesson for all of us, really, when it comes to making important decisions, is to get out of the stream of the noise and, you know, listen to your own advice, in a sense, you know.
Right, and you know, he finds out information, but finds out what he wants to find out and evaluates it.
Yeah.
The way he comes to the decision. I mean, his decisions are probably better than anybody else's, but that's another matter.
So, Steve, I know that, you know, annually the Berkshire Hathaway Conference brings in a lot of money to Omaha. Is there any other effect that Warren has to the city and outlying areas of Omaha?
Yeah, you know, he's a guy who has so much money that his fortune, as he gives it away, goes to really tackle some bigger problems. Mm-hmm. His daughter, Susan, has her own foundation that's funded by donations from her dad. This is called the Sherwood Foundation, and that really focuses on Omaha as far as causes and social, you know, sort of anti-poverty things, trying to work with at-risk kids, working with early childhood education. So her philanthropy really focuses on Omaha, whereas Buffett's, you know, he supports the Gates Foundation. They're trying to do things like end world hunger and eradicate diseases, stuff that you can really tackle big issues. And the Omaha community, I mean, has other people who are also philanthropists. And so it's not that we have to depend on the one guy. I mean, Susan does a lot of stuff with her philanthropy in Omaha. That's important to Omaha, to have that kind of wealth supporting things that are going on here, tackling some of the big problems we have.
You know, I noticed when I was there that I don't see the Buffett name on any buildings.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's two. One is there's a middle school named Alice Buffett Middle School, which is named after Warren's aunt, who was a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
The other is the Fred and Pamela Buffett Cancer Center, which just opened. Pamela Buffett used to babysit Warren's children, and she married Warren's cousin, a guy named Fred, and he was an early shareholder. And so she supported that. So if you see it, it says Buffett Cancer Center, but in little type, it says Fred and Pamela.
Gotcha.
So it's like, I mean, one of the points that Buffett has said, you know, if somebody wants to put their name on a building, then that's a good source of revenue for whoever's putting up the building. He doesn't have to do that. Maybe you would ace out somebody else who wants their name up there.
So he doesn't care about the name, so put someone else's name.
Yeah.
So they'll give $50 million or whatever it happens to be. Yeah.
Right. Let the other philanthropists put their names out there. And he's a supporter from the community in terms of promoting Omaha.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
You know, we always talked about how great Omaha is, all that stuff.
Yeah. You know, we don't really have much time, but the convention has really changed a lot. As a matter of fact, I see when last time I was there, there were waves. I mean, just so many people from different parts of the world, so many Asians, I guess, from China and other places, you know, just as a percentage of the attendee population, a large and larger percentage every single year. Are there any other places in the world that you see kind of groups of people coming from?
Yeah, well, he gets a lot of Germans show up. There's a pretty good cadre from South America that's coming now, particularly Brazil. He has people coming from Australia. I mean, one time I did a story and found roughly 2,000 Chinese came to the meeting. So that's not quite 10% of the group.
Yeah.
A lot of international interest. And, you know, Buffett wants to invest in those places too. So it goes both ways.
It's a far way to travel. So it says a lot about what they're coming for.
Yeah.
My guest, reporter for the Omaha World Herald, Steve Jordan, joins me. He's been following this beat for a long time. So you can go online to the Omaha World Herald and follow Warren if you're Warren Buffett O'File.
Right.
Or just want more information. And talking about more information, if you have a question about what we just discussed, ask us. Go to stevepomerantz.com and ask us anything you'd like, stevepomerantz.com. And while you're there, sign up for our weekly updates where we'll send you the weekly commentaries and interviews straight to your inbox. Steve Jordan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. And you might check omaha.com too, as long as we're plugging the site.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. It's good stuff. Thank you very much. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Sure enough.